I ask you please to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. This morning we're going to be looking at verse 3. But I want us to read from verse 3 down to verse 14. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us. In all wisdom and insight, He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon the earth. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on our time together. Excuse me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this beautiful day that You've made, for the time of worship that we have already enjoyed and will enjoy. Now, Lord, as we open Your Word together, I pray that You would bless the time of preaching, Lord, that it would indeed be a sacrifice that is acceptable to You, that the preaching of the sermon would be an act of worship that would please You, and Lord, the way that we receive this sermon would be an act of worship that would please You. I pray that You would help us to give You our full attention during this time, that we would not allow ourselves to be distracted, that we would not allow seed, the good seed of Your Word, to be stolen away, Lord, because the enemy allows or causes and we allow our minds to wander. Lord, help us throughout the sermon to stay focused and to listen intently and to think about our own lives. Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would be at work in the hearts of those who are lost with us this morning, those who have never experienced the new birth and are unregenerate and need Christ. I pray that the Holy Spirit, even now, would bring conviction through this sermon, would bring the sorrow that leads to repentance, that, Lord, He would bring lost sinners to Your Son. And I pray for Your sheep, that, Lord, You would feed us, that You would encourage us, that You would correct us where we need it, that in every way, Lord, this message would accomplish, as we know that it will, all that You've sent it for. We thank You for all that You're doing and what You have in store for this service, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. When we come to the third verse of Ephesians chapter 1, we come to the beginning of what really is a long sentence, one long continuous sentence in the Greek language. The sentence begins at verse 3 and runs all the way down to verse 14. It's one long continuous thought. And what it is a doxology. It is a word of praise. It's a word of blessing, lifted to God. It's a sentence that praises God for His saving work in our lives. It's easily divided into three parts. It looks back in eternity past. And thanks God for election. It looks at salvation present and thanks God for redemption. It looks at the eternity that lies ahead and thanks God for glorification, for an inheritance. The first part of this doxology focuses on the Father who chose us in His Son. The second part focuses on the Son who redeemed us by His blood. The third part focuses on the Holy Spirit who has come to live in our hearts and who is God's seal unto us of all that God has promised us being ours in eternity future. It's all one long word of praise. And in that doxology is a lesson. Just the fact that He does what He does is a lesson. Because what we've been learning is doctrine. Back up in verse 1, we were told what constitutes a Christian. What does it mean to be a Christian? Well, it means that you're a saint. It means that you're faithful. It means that you're in Christ Jesus. God has taken you out of the world, and He has saved you and brought you into His family. He did that by filling you with faith. God granted to you, He gave to you, genuine belief in His Son as your Lord and Savior. And at that moment, He joined you to His Son. You are in Christ Jesus. That's what constitutes a Christian. That's what it means to be saved. And He tells us how this happened in verse 2 when He says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." This all took place. We were brought into this wonderful position because of the grace of God and because of the peace that God has given us in Christ. Grace and peace is how we have come to be in this wonderful position. And now, after that doctrine, He gives us doxology. After that doctrine, He gives us praise. Let me just make a point here, that you and I have not truly understood doctrine until it results in doxology. We haven't really understood doctrine if our hearts are not filled with praise. And if a song is not on our lips, if our hearts are not lifted up to God, giving Him thanks, if our heart is not filled with a sense of gratefulness, then we have not really grasped what we say we've grasped when we talk about our doctrine. Doctrine, rightly understood, always results in doxology. It always results in praise. And that's why a church that's being founded, that's being settled on good, sound doctrine, ought to also be a church that is a place when you come into it, it's full of joy, it's full of thanksgiving, it's full of gratefulness. We ought to be a happy people to be around. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, if we really understand what the Bible teaches about what the Lord has done for us, should there be any more joyful people on the face of the earth than God's people? So where doctrine is rightly understood, doxology is the result. And this morning, I want us to look at this beginning of this doxology. I want us to look at verse 3 and to see that God has brought us into a position of blessing. If you were to give me just one word to sum up verse 3, it would be the word blessing. What has God done for you in saving you? He's blessed you. He has blessed you. Beyond your full understanding, beyond our imagination, God has blessed us. Look again at verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, there's someone who is to be blessed for this. That's God. "Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." This is a verse about blessing. The blessed one, the blesser, the ones who are blessed, and the blessings. That's what verse 3 is about. It's a verse full of blessing. And this morning I want us to look at it. There are three things we're going to see together in verse 3. Number 1, praise God for His goodness. Number 2, praise God for His gifts. Number 3, praise God for His grace. Praise God for His goodness. Praise God for His gifts. Praise God for His grace. We sang it earlier this morning, didn't we? Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. That's what we're doing when we look at verse 3. We're counting our many blessings. We're naming them one by one. We're taking account of what God has done. That's what verse 3 is about. So let's start with this thought. Praise God for His goodness. It's a very important and interesting word right at the start of verse 3. It's translated blessed or blessed. It's the word eulogitas. And if you listen to that word, you'll immediately recognize an English word that we get from it. It's the word eulogy. Eulogy. If anybody has ever been to a funeral, you have heard someone eulogized. He says in verse 3, eulogized be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word means to declare a person's goodness, to praise what is good in them. Right away we recognize that in a very real sense, there's only one person who is worthy of a eulogy. And that's God. Because only God is good. All the time. You know, we used to sing that when I first came. Brother Ron Dinkins, he was filling in until the Lord sent us Michael Jackson. By the way, if you're visiting with us today, our music pastor and our children's director and our youth pastor are still in California. They didn't miss the plane. They just are staying to observe some things there at Grace Church today. They'll be back late tonight. We used to sing that song, God is good all the time, and He is. All the time. And He's the only one who's worthy of a eulogy. In Luke chapter 18, verse 18, it says, and a certain ruler questioned Him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call Me good? No one is good except God alone. Now we know that Jesus was and is God. So He is good. And He is worthy to be eulogized. But Jesus knew something. He knew this ruler did not yet recognize Him as God. So He's talking to Jesus, thinking He's a teacher, thinking He's a prophet, yet He's calling Him good. And right away Jesus wants to say, no, wait a second. If I'm just a teacher, if I'm just a prophet, why do you call Me good? Both correcting this man's thoughts about men and at the same time calling this young man to recognize Jesus' true identity, He's God. Only He's worthy of a eulogy. And if we go to a Christian funeral and we do give a eulogy, what we're actually doing is we're thanking God for the goodness that He put in that person. We're thanking God for the goodness that He produced because we know that apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. If there's anything good in us, God produced it. Now, not only is He the only one worthy of a eulogy, He is to be eulogized. That's what verse 3 is telling us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless Him. It's the only right thing to do. It's the only fitting thing to do. There is no one who can compare to God. When we talk about His goodness, it is infinite. And therefore, it is right and fitting that we should praise Him for His goodness. If our hearts are not filled with praise toward God, we are living in sin because it means we are not recognizing what an awesome, mighty, good God we have. Don't you think it's wrong to be married to someone, to love them and for them to love you, but not to be grateful for one another, not to recognize how blessed you are? Don't you think it's wrong not to recognize how blessed you are to have the children that you have? Don't you think it's wrong not to recognize all the many benefits you've received? How much greater is the sin when we don't recognize the goodness of God? He is to be eulogized. And we ought to praise Him, number one, for His personal goodness. We ought to praise Him because He is good just in His very nature. Psalm 25:8 says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, He instructs sinners in the way. We have a holy God who could have judged all of us and never had to apologize. There's a holy God who did not have to provide a way of salvation for us, who did not have to instruct us in a way of salvation. Why did He do it? Because He's good. Therefore, He instructs sinners in the way. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, He instructs sinners in the way. Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Is there anybody here this morning who has taken refuge in God? You find your safety in the Lord. You have tasted Him. You have taken Him. You have embraced Him. Is there anybody here today who can testify that you've tasted and found God to be good? Amen? Yes, He is. He is good. Psalm 54:6, willingly I will sacrifice to Thee. I will give thanks to Thy name, O Lord, for it is good. His name is good. The name of God is the sum total of all of His attributes. And if you take all of God's character, all of His attributes, and you add it all together, the sum of it is goodness. If you look at His sovereignty, God's sovereignty is good. If you look at God's wisdom, His wisdom is good. If you look at His holiness is good. If you look at His love, His knowledge, His power, His presence, it is always good. We ought to eulogize God for His personal goodness. We ought to also eulogize the Lord for His expressed goodness. Not only is our God a good God, He's a giving God. And everything that He gives is good. God only gives good things. The book of James points this out. Chapter 1, verse 17, it says, every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. There is never a change in God's nature. That's what the doctrine of immutability is about. God is immutable. He never changes. There's no shifting around in His nature. And if you look at God today and tomorrow and 10 million years from now, and if you were to go back in eternity past 10 million years, you would find that He has always been and will always be in every part of His nature good. And therefore, everything that He gives reflects His nature. Every gift He bestows is a good gift because it expresses Him. He's the only one worthy of a eulogy. He is to be eulogized. Praise God for His goodness. But now when we talk about His expressed goodness, the demonstration of His goodness, we come to our second point this morning. We ought to praise God for His gifts. Now we know the order of that, right? We ought to always begin praising God for who He is. Then we praise God for what He gives. We ought to seek the face of God, not the hand of God. And just a side note, but how often is it in our prayer life that we begin with His hand, not with His face? We either jump right to asking, or if we're giving the Lord thanks, we begin by giving Him thanks for what He's given us. Do you in your quiet time, do you in your time alone with the Lord, really take time to take account of who God is and to give Him praise for who He is? We ought to begin with His face and then with His hand. But not only praise Him for His goodness, which is what the word eulogitas means, but praise Him for His gifts. And His gifts are talked about in verse 3 too. And this is a verse that is rich with the incredible, unbelievable description of the position that God has placed us in by grace. God has brought us. It is not an exaggeration. I had a young man ask me this morning about his prayer, Paul's prayer down in verse 17. I want you to look down to verse 17. He says, I'm praying for you, verse 15, for this reason I too, having heard the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. Now here's what he's praying, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. In other words, I'm praying that the Lord would allow you, would expand your capacity so that you can take hold of all that He's done for you. So that you can comprehend it, so that you can begin to really get a taste of it. So in some small measure, you might have an understanding of this unbelievable position that you've been brought into in Christ Jesus by the grace of Almighty God. And it's like he takes all the blessing of verses 3 through 14 and he concentrates it down and packs it into verse 3. You take verse 3 and just unfold it, and it would be like, you know, those little things you used to screw the top off of, and the thing pops out. If you take verse 3 and unscrew it, blessing pops out. And in such a degree, you and I don't really comprehend it. What do you see in verse 3? Well, several things. First of all, if you're going to praise God for His gifts, you have to begin with the giver of these gifts. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. God the Father is the blesser. And that truth teaches us something about God and teaches us something about us. It reminds us that we bless God because we're told to bless Him in verse 3. We bless God with our words. He blesses us with deeds. It is true to say, you can't give something to God. You can't add to Him. You can't bless God with deeds just in and of yourself, because anything good that's ever produced in you, who did it? He produces it, right? So the way you bless God is not with deeds, but with words. When we bless God, we speak good of Him. When He blesses us, He communicates good to us. We bless God for His goodness. We don't bless God with our goodness. But God, on the other hand, does not bless us for our goodness. He blesses us with His goodness. If we had to wait to be blessed until we were good in ourselves, we would never receive a single blessing from God. He doesn't bless us for our goodness. He blesses us with His goodness. And so when God tells us, look, here's how you bless me. You bless me with your praise. Here's how I bless you. I bless you with deeds. Not just words, but deeds and goodness. Right away, we see our position, don't we? He's the blesser. We're the blessed. And we simply bless Him when we bless Him with our words. Thank you. Gratitude, praise. So you see the giver of these gifts. There's a second thing you see. You see the extent of these gifts. How wide are the gifts of God? How deep do they run? He says in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. That's a big word. Every. Every spiritual blessing. Not one is left out. Every. Not one is missing. God's people have all that we will ever need for life and godliness, and we received it all at the moment we were placed in Christ. We are not a people who are searching around for something to be added to an empty spiritual cupboard. Our cupboard was filled to completion at the moment we trusted Christ. We are not a people who are pursuing blessing from God. We are a people who possess the blessings of God in Christ Jesus. And now the answer is to learn how to live out of what He's already given you. Sad. It's sad how we live sometimes. We live like somebody standing on a street corner with a "will work for food" sign, when he has infinite wealth in a bank account. That's what we're like sometimes. Could you imagine a man having $1 million on account in his bank, but he's standing out on a street corner with a sign, "We'll work for food," begging for blessing? You would say, why don't you just use what you have? Well, if you want to take that illustration, our bank account is full of infinite riches. Who are we to be running around looking to seminars, looking to experiences, looking to miracles, looking to something for another blessing when God tells you you have all things, every spiritual blessing in Christ? You don't need more blessing. You need to learn how to live out of your blessings. It will affect our prayer life when we understand this. It will affect how we live. I wonder, how often are God's people asking Him for what He's already given them? Lord, I'm having a hard time with this person. Would you give me love for them? Would you give me love for them? When the Bible says that the moment the Holy Spirit came to live in you, He shed God's love abroad in your heart. You already have God's love. You now just need to choose to deal with that person out of God's love, based on God's love, demonstrating God's love. You don't need the Lord to give you love for the person. He gave you love for the person when He gave you His Spirit and gave you a new nature. Now you need to choose to live out of that love that God's already given you. Lord, would you give me power? I'm struggling with an area of sin and I feel so weak and I feel like I can't overcome. Lord, would you give me the power to overcome this area of sin? And there we are, like on the street corner, begging God for power when the Bible says in Galatians 5:16 that if we walk by the Spirit, we will not carry out the desires of our flesh. God says, I've already given you my Spirit. Now, if you'll just yield yourselves to Him, if you'll make the choice to obey and to walk in step with my Word and my Spirit, you'll find the power is there. People ask God for answers. Lord, would you give me an answer? When He's given us 66 books of divine revelation. And not only that, He's given us the Holy Spirit to teach it to us. And not only that, He's given us the mind of Christ so that we have the capacity to receive the teaching. Lord, give me an answer. Lord, give me an answer. And here is His answer. And the Spirit is there to teach us. And we have the mind of Christ to receive the instruction. When we understand, beloved, that the extent of the blessing has no limits. If you go as wide as you want to go or as deep as you want to go, God has given you every spiritual blessing in Christ. Everything you need to live the Christian life, you already have. Now you just must learn how to live out of it. Show you another verse real quick. 2 Peter chapter 1 talks about this. If you look there, please. 2 Peter chapter 1 and look at verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. You might just say there, well, wait a second. It sounds like grace and peace are multiplied there. They are. But notice how they're multiplied. In the true knowledge of Him who called you by His glory and virtue, verse 3. In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, verse 2. That is, the more you learn about what God has given you, the more you understand the capacity you have to live the life God is calling you to live. Verse 3 says, seeing that His divine power has granted to us, what's the next word? Everything pertaining to life and godliness. Everything. Everything. If you just want to think about life for a moment, everything you need to live your marriage to the glory of God, you have it in Christ Jesus. Everything you need to raise your children to the glory of God, you have it in Christ Jesus. Everything you need to go to work every day and to do your job to the glory of God, you have it in Christ Jesus. Everything you need for life, everything you need for life is yours in Christ Jesus. Even the material things you need for life are yours in Christ Jesus because God promises to meet all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Even when God meets our needs, it's out of that treasure house. It's because we're related to God through His Son. And everything you need for godliness, everything you need to be the man of God that you desire to be because of God's grace. And God is going to make you everything you need to be the woman of God you desire to be. Everything you need to be that young person of God that you desire to be. You were given it the moment you came to know Christ. It's important for us to know. So the giver of the gifts is God Himself. Praise Him for that. The extent of the gifts is it's without limit. Everything you need for life and godliness is yours. Give Him praise for that. There's a third thing. If you go back to Ephesians 1, we praise God for His gifts. We have to praise Him for the nature of these gifts. The nature of these gifts. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Pneumatikos is the word. You'll recognize the first part of that. Pneuma, spirit, wind. These blessings that God has given us, they are related to the work of the Holy Spirit. We tend to think, when we read that, I used to think this way, spiritual blessings, all right? That means immaterial blessings as compared to material blessings. God has blessed me with all these blessings I can't see, all these immaterial blessings. Well, it's true that God has blessed us with many things we can't see, but that's not really what that word means. What this word means, it gets to the nature of the gifts that God gives, the kinds of gifts that He gives. What God gives are spiritual blessings. They come, they're in accord with the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. What God gives leads to our further sanctification. What God gives will not lead us away from God, it will lead us to God. What God gives will not lead us into disobedience, it will lead us into obedience. What God gives never leads us into wickedness, it always leads us into holiness. These are the kinds of gifts that God gives. Spiritual blessings. And everything we need to be drawn toward holiness and righteousness and godliness and obedience, that's ours in Christ Jesus. And God is continually expressing that kind of giving toward His people. Gets to the nature of what God gives us. God does not give us wicked things. God does not give us things that violate His Word. God doesn't give us things that lead us into spiritual coldness and compromise. It's so important to know, because if God's people knew that, they wouldn't say some of the things they say. It's sad. I wish it wasn't true. But it is true that there have been people who were unfaithful in their marriage, ended up joined up with somebody else, and tried to say that God led them into the new relationship. I know God didn't do that. How do you know? Because God doesn't give you gifts that are wicked in nature. And that's wickedness. And neither does He give us some of the stuff we want to say He's giving us. Sometimes you'll talk to a man and his family's having it hard financially, and he's hoping that the Lord will lead them into a greater place of financial blessing. And so all of a sudden a job offer comes along. And it's going to mean greater financial blessing, but it's also going to mean that he's out of church two-thirds of the time. And so he takes the job. And 6 months later, he comes to talk to you and says, you know, I just don't feel like I'm doing as well in my walk with God, and I feel like I'm a little bit cold, and, you know, I just don't know what's going on. And you say, well, you know, you're missing an awful lot of church. Yeah, but I know God gave me that job. You know what we need to learn? People, listen. There are things more valuable than money. Things more valuable than houses and cars and clothes. And the greatest thing you'll ever give to your children is not material and financial in nature. And here's a man who may be doing better for his family materially, but they have lost what they had before that is actually of greater value, and that is they had a dad and a father who was an example of spiritual obedience. What's more important in the long run? Did you give them nicer clothes, or that they can see a godly man who lives out his faith? We need to examine what we say God gives us. Because what He gives us is always in the realm of spiritual blessing. There's a fourth thing we see here. We see the location of these gifts. Notice where they're located. In the heavenly places. That almost could make you feel frustrated, huh? God, could you bring them down a little lower? I'm thankful for all the blessings, but why do they have to be way up there? Well, that's not what it means. It doesn't mean they're in heaven, except in this sense. All our blessings are tied to our head, to our Lord Jesus Christ, and right now He is seated in the heavenly places. In that sense, they're all in heaven. Because it all comes to us through Him. We'll talk about that in a moment. But this is more than heaven itself. Heaven's included. But more than that is included in this statement. This speaks of the supernatural realm of God, His complete domain, the full extent of His divine operation. And what we're reminded of is these blessings are ours. They have come to us not due to any connection we have with the natural realm, but due to a connection that we have in a supernatural realm. That is, our blessings are not connected to our birth. not connected to our natural giftedness, not connected to what church we've grown up in or what denomination we've grown up in. These blessings did not come to you because of the parents you have, though your parents may be a blessing. They didn't come to you because of the church you're in, though the church may be a blessing. No, they have come to you because you have come to know Jesus Christ and your citizenship is in heaven. We have a dual citizenship. We are not sons of this age. And all of our spiritual blessings are connected to that reality that we have a citizenship in heaven. Philippians 3:20 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Colossians 3:1 says, "If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." You say, how does this practically affect my life? Just this. You want to know how to get those blessings into your life? You say, "Pastor, I do sometimes feel like that man who has that infinite bank account, but I'm standing on the corner saying, we'll work for food. How do I draw on all these resources that God has given to me?" Do you know how? You're going to have to understand. Here's how you do it. You're going to have to understand where your citizenship is. And God has designed our life with Him in such a way that as we seek the things that are above, as we understand that our citizenship is in heaven, as we fix our eyes on the author and the perfecter of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we live here, like we're not going to be here forever, but like we're going to be there forever, as you live like that, now you experience the fullness and the richness and the joy of all that blessing that's yours in Jesus. It's strange. As soon as you try to hold on to earthly treasure, you choke out the richness of the experience of your heavenly treasure. But as you'll say, "This is not my life. This is not my home. This is not what I'm living for. I'm seeking the things that are above." Now even this takes on more richness and more joy and more meaning in your life. You've got to understand where your citizenship is. Your spiritual blessings are in the heavenly places. In Christ Jesus. There's a fifth thing. We see the giver of these blessings. We see the nature of these blessings, the extent of these blessings, the location of these blessings. Notice the fifth thing. Notice the agent of these gifts. The end of verse 3, in Christ. There's the channel. There's the source. There's the only way to receive blessing from God in terms of family blessing. You know, God has blessing for people. It's just common grace. He shows it to anybody, whether they're His child or not. We see that every day, don't we? The sun's shining today, not just on Christians. The sun is shining on people who curse the name of God. Breath is being breathed in and provided today, not just for Christians. There are people breathing God's air who don't even believe He's there. God is sustaining them and they refuse to even acknowledge His presence. There are those general common grace blessings. But then there's family blessing. And there's only one way to ever get in on God's family blessing, and that is Jesus. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. But the wrath of God abides upon him. 90 times in your New Testament, 90 times you find the statement in Christ. That doesn't even count the in hymns and all that. In Him, H-I-M. Doesn't even count those. Just in Christ, 90 times. Sometime, I would encourage you to do it. It'd be a blessing for you. Go through in your New Testament. Every time you see in Christ, underline it and notice what's connected to it. And what you're going to find is any blessing and every blessing God ever gives to people in terms of family blessing, it's always connected to Jesus. Our redemption is in Christ. Our riches are in Christ. Our righteousness is in Christ. Our resources are in Christ. Our position is in Christ. Our possessions are in Christ. Everything we ever receive from God is found in and through His Son. If you reject the Son of God, you reject the blessing of God. Don't ever imagine that God will bless you while you reject His Son. It will not happen. The only way to receive blessing from God is you must come to grips with who Jesus is. And believe on Him as your Lord, your God, and your Savior. And you see that even in this sentence, verses 3 through 14. You see that. For example, look at verse 4. Just as He chose us in Him. In Him. If you want to talk about election, God's choice is connected to Christ. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. If you want to talk about predestination, verse 5, adoption as sons, daughters of God, the reason why you're called a child of God today, a son of God today, if you are, is because you're in Christ. And if you want grace from God, verse 6 says, God bestows His grace on us freely in the Beloved. There's no grace from God apart from Jesus Christ. Verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. Do you want to be redeemed, bought by God, purchased by God? Do you want forgiveness from God? It's all in Him. It's in Christ. Without Jesus, there's no forgiveness of sins. Without the shedding of His blood, there is no washing away of your sins. It's all in Him. Verse 8, which He lavished upon us, in all wisdom and insight, He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times. That is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon the earth. If you want to talk about history, from Genesis to Revelation, from the creation to God all wrapping it up, it's all found in Christ. If you want to go beyond time, if you want to go to eternity past, eternity future, it all finds its explanation, its summing up in Christ. You can't make sense of history without Jesus. People who try to look at history and make sense of it and all this sort of stuff, without Christ, it makes no sense. It's all going to be summed up in Him. In verse 10, in Him also we've obtained an inheritance. In Him we've obtained an inheritance. Having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. All of your inheritance is connected to Jesus. Verse 13, in Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. If you want to talk about your assurance, your security, how do you know that when you put your head down on the pillow tonight, if you were to die, you'd go to heaven? There's only one way you'll ever know it. It's in Jesus. It's connected to Him. So that if you talk about God's blessings, who is the agent? Who communicates the blessings of God to us? It is all through Jesus Christ. You have blessing from God because you know His Son Jesus Christ, or you will have no blessing from God. Praise God for His goodness. Praise God for His gifts. Know who gives them. Know what kind of gifts He gives. Know how wide they are and how deep they are. Know who brings them to you, Jesus Christ. Know where they're located at in the heavenly places. Live your life here like you're going to heaven. We close with this thought. In verse 3, you see a third thing. Praise God for His grace. Praise God for His goodness. Praise God for His gifts. Praise God for His grace. Because notice something in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed every single person living on the earth with every spiritual blessing. Is that what it says? It says, who has blessed, what's the next word? Us. Who's the us? Who has been blessed with all these things? The us is the saints. Verse 1. The us are those who are faithful, filled with faith by God. Verse 1. The us are those who are in Christ Jesus. Verse 1. The us are those who've received grace from God the Father through His Son, verse 2. The us are those who have received peace from God the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ, verse 2. The us refers to believers. We have been blessed with these things. And no one else. No one else. And sooner or later, you have to ask, how did I become a part of the us? How did you get into verse 3? Verse 4 tells you, just as He chose us in Him. When? Before the foundation of the world. You can't praise God. You know why election is important? Do you know why we must teach these things? You will never be able to give proper praise until you understand how you became a part of the us. Praise Him for His goodness. How do you know He's good? There's a whole world that doesn't recognize He's good. How did you come to know that He's good? Because you're a part of the us. Praise God for His gifts. How did all these gifts get to you? Because you're a part of the us. How did I get to be a part of the us? Because God chose me before the world was. Before time began. I can't praise Him for His goodness. I can't praise Him for His gifts unless I can praise Him for His grace. I want to ask you, are you a part of the us? Have you come to know Christ? Have you experienced a new birth? Have you tasted? Can you see that the Lord is good? I'm going to talk about it tonight when we talk about what we heard at the Shepherd's Conference. I guess if there was one thing that would sum up the whole conference, it would be this. We must be clear about what it means to be a Christian. And if you have never experienced the new birth, where you have been taken from error to truth, where you have been taken from a heart that does not thirst after God, does not hunger after God, does not pant as the deer pants for the water brooks. If you've not been taken from that condition, and now God has birthed a holy hunger in you for Himself, and a holy hunger in you for His Word, and a holy hunger in you for holiness and obedience, if you have never known that, you are not a Christian. You must be born again. We heard it this week. George Whitefield used to preach over and over again on John chapter 3. You must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born again. And finally someone came up to him and said, look, why do you always preach that? I mean, I always hear you say, you must be born again. You must be born. Why do you keep preaching that? He said, because you must be born again. Right? You must be born again. And if you have not experienced the new birth, you're not a Christian. If you're not a Christian, you're not in the us. And if you're not in the us, you don't have any of this blessing. There's only one way to be in the blessing. You must know Jesus. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your goodness. And for the many expressions of it. Lord, may You help us to recognize Your goodness and to eulogize You for it. To praise You for Your goodness, to praise You for Your gifts, and to praise You for Your grace that has brought us into this position of unimaginable blessing. Lord, we pray for the person here with us who is not yet in that blessing. May they even this day trust in Your Son. May You give them courage as we offer this time of invitation to come forward and to meet Me here, Lord, that they might go off with a counselor and talk about their soul. Lord, would You give them courage to do that? And those who need to be joined to this fellowship, may You give them that sure awareness and sense that this is where you would have them to be. And may we, your people, be stirred out of any spiritual coldness, brought to a place where our hearts are full of praise, therefore our mouths are full of praise. Where this church would be a place full of thanksgiving and joy and gratefulness because of who you are and all that you're doing and all that you've done and all that you will do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.